a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Board, and we will convene as a bonding committee. Call the bonding committee meeting to order. We do have a quorum, and so the first group that we would have present today would be the South Dakota Housing Development Authority. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Mark Lossing. I'm the executive director of the South Dakota Housing Development Authority. Information that we have forwarded to you includes our annual report, our audited financial statements for the year ended June 30th, 2011, a list of bonds issued since the last bonding review committee meeting, and a list of bonds outstanding as of November 1, 2011. Since last year's bonding review committee, we've issued a total of $175 million in bonds for our first-time homebuyer program. Fiscal year 2011, over $163 million was loaned to 1,517 first-time homebuyer families in South Dakota. The Homeownership Mortgage Bond Program continues to carry a AAA rating from Standard & Poor's, a AA1 from Moody's Investor Service. The authority itself carries a general obligation rating from Moody's of AA3, and our multiple-purpose bonds have a AAA rating from Standard & Poor's. The authority contributed over $270 million to affordable housing in fiscal year 2011, including our first-time homebuyer program, our down payment assistance programs, housing tax credits, the Home Investment Partnership Program, Rural Site Development Program, other stimulus programs, Neighborhood Stabilization Program, and administration of federal rent subsidy programs, Emergency Shelter Program, the Homeless Consortium, and the Governor's House Program. For the Governor's House Program, from the inception of the program through November this year, a total of 2,007 homes have been sold, 1,982 have been completed, and 1,948 have been delivered. In addition, we've done 77 daycares that have been completed and delivered. I know the time is short, so I'll summarize my report with that and open it up to any questions.
Any questions or comments from the committee? Representative Lucas.
Thank you. For a first-time home buyer, they have three options, and they can go with the step rate, the fixed rate, and the fixed rate plus. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes, those are the three rates that we have available.
And then to follow up, if I could, what is the most common option they would look at?
You know, we haven't done very many step rate loans lately. We do about 40% of our loans are done with the fixed rate plus, which is gives them a 3% gift so that they can then help with their down payment and closing costs. And about 60% are at the fixed rate.
Go ahead.
Are there any foreclosures related to one more than the other?
You know, we don't see a trend either way. Our foreclosure rate's right around 1%, which is very low for nationwide numbers.
Any other questions? Mr. Lawson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Next, South Dakota Building Authority, Don Templeton. And remind the board that I believe all of you have received copies of the reports prior to. If you don't have one, let me know. Go ahead, Mr. Templeton. Thank you.
Good morning. Don Templeton, Executive Secretary for the South Dakota Building Authority. Our Department of Legislative Audit recently completed our audit with no audit exceptions and no audit recommendations given. If you would turn to page 3 of the report, I just would like to bring to your attention that the interest rates, these are 30-year bonds at taken at 6-month pictures, and you can see our current environment up to July of 2000 of this year. If you turn to page 4, it'll show that rates have come down since January of this year. We priced a building authority bond for $12,880,000 July 27th. We achieved a true interest cost of 3.69% on these bonds. And if you turn to page 6, this will describe the projects bonded for. There was 4 campuses: Black Hills State University, Northern State University, South Dakota State, and University of South Dakota. These were $12,880,000 tax-exempt bonds, public offering, all-in cost of 3.69%. Good, that ties to page four. And they were rated AA by Standard & Poor's and A, small A2 by Moody's. Then we got a picture of one of the University of South Dakota projects. Page 7 shows our past bond projects that have a current cash balance, and I'll quickly walk through that. Back in 2008, we bonded for approximately $74 million for 10 science buildings, and those have pretty much been spent down. We have $1.5 million of cash to finish out those projects. Page 8 shows three projects that we financed last year at Black Hills State, Woodburn Hall, Dakota State Infrastructure, and Northern was Lincoln and Graham Hall. We issued $11.4 million of bonds. We have a cash balance of about $2.4 million for those projects. Page 9 was the Dietary Center for the Human Services Center in Yankton. We bonded for $5.6 million, and we have $4.5 million in our project fund. And our project fund is invested with the State Investment Council. Page 10 is the bond issue that I showed on the graph, the Series 2011, with the different with the four campuses. So we're just getting started with those payments. Page 11 shows our outstanding bonds, and we had $258 million as of June 30. Page 12 shows projects financed in your part of the state, wherever you may live. And then pages 13 through the end show just list the individual projects chronologically.
Thank you, Mr. Templeton. Do we have any questions or comments from the Executive Board? Representative Feinstein.
Thank you, and if I missed it, let me know. But page 8, for example, shows there's $2.5 million left. Is that because we haven't finished the project, or is this leftovers because we have extra money and didn't have to spend it, or where are we at on, like, for example?
They haven't finished the project yet. They're still doing the finishing touches. Well, actually, that would be more than that. That's about one-fifth of the project. So it would be, going back to page 8, all three projects have cash to spend. You can look at their budgeted expenses versus actual expenses. So all three projects still have money to spend down on them.
A follow-up, but is that money to spend, or they completed the project and that's just extra cash, or is it money that they were supposed to, that they're still going to spend on the things that have been authorized to spend?
It's money that they're going to spend to complete the project.
Any other questions? Seeing none. Thank you, Mr. Templeton. I'm assuming that you are the same Don Templeton that's going to do the South Dakota Health Educational Facilities?
I am.
All right.
And now to the blue book. Ide Bailey is our auditors, and they recently completed our audit with no audit exceptions and no recommendations given. Page 4 is the same type of graph that we reviewed for the Billing Authority, but this is for the Health and Educational Facilities Authority. We issued bonds for Prairie Lakes Healthcare System up in Watertown in November. We assisted United Retirement Center in Brookings through Brookings County. That's just a service that our authority does. and it went through Brookings County to get bank qualification to get a better interest, a lower interest rate for that project. And then the Health and Ed Authority financed a vocational education bond issue in July, which I'll review with you in a minute. And then regional health, we priced in November and recently closed a large issue for regional health out in Rapid City. Page 6 shows the individual bond issues. Prairie Lakes, $20,685,000. That was rated A+. That was to refund prior bonds, Series 98 and 2002. And by doing this, Prairie Lakes realized net present value savings of approximately $1.3 million. Page 7 is a technical education bond issue, and that was for Mitchell to construct a 140,000 square foot building for construction trades, ag programs, and power sports program. Provided some drawings there of the new trade center. These bonds are rated double A by Fitch and A, small A, 2 by Moody's. Page 8 was our regional health in Rapid City, our bond issue. Multiple buildings were in their were bonded for. The main one was the campus office building, which is just west of their main hospital, and that was $8 million. The total amount of these bonds were $50.4 million. They were rated A1 by Moody's. And in addition, they also refunded some prior bonds, Series 2001 bonds. And they realized net present value savings of approximately $3.1 million by refunding those bonds. Page 10 shows United Retirement Center. This was the project that was issued through Brookings County. But our authority assisted in lining up the financing team and wound up being quite successful. They were building a new 12,994-foot short-term stay unit. They're remodeling quite a bit of the nursing home. And the total project size was approximately $7.7 million. Of that, the bonds were $6.6 million, and fundraising was $1.1 million. Home Federal Bank was the lender, and they got a very attractive interest rate, 4.5% for the first 5 years. And then it's reset every 5 years with a maturity of approximately 20 years. So I they were very pleased with the rate. Page 11, projects currently in progress, technical education. Lake Area Technical Institute wants to build a agricultural center. The Board of Education has approved $12.5 million of bonding for that, and then they're going to provide some equity. Page 12, and oh, I should go back. We're keeping an eye on interest rates, so that may be bonded, we may price in January or February, depending on rates. Page 12 shows our outstanding bonds as of June 30 as $910 million. Page 13 shows a map of healthcare projects issued in around your districts. Page 14 would show educational projects. And then page 15 through 22 show that the authority, if you turn to page 22, this is a chronological listing of our projects, and we've issued $3.1 million cumulative for 221 bond issues. And then pages 23 and 24 show the assisted projects like the Brookings County United Retirement Center that we've done $43 million. We've assisted in $43 million for 35 projects.
All right, thank you. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Benner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I know we're trying to be brief. I have, Representative Feinstein's question kind of started spilling over, and now I've got a question with regard to an audit function associated with these projects as they're spent down and these are huge and they're ongoing. Is there a brief way that you can explain to me how an audit, if there is an audit function, and how it works in terms of, you know, as these projects are winding down and as the money is spent, how do we know what's going on?
We have our trustees here, Bert Olson and Christy. Would you like to explain the voucher system to begin with? Is that okay?
That is fine. And again, if this is something we need to table and talk about later, I don't know what I've gotten into here for sure.
I think we can address that.
Thank you.
My name is Bert Olson. I work with First National Bank in Sioux Falls, and we serve as trustee for the Health Net Authority. And when the bonds are issued, when the bonds are issued, we receive the proceeds, and during the course of the project, the hospital is responsible for submitting a draw request to the bank. That's signed by an officer of the hospital, and we reimburse the hospital for the costs that they've incurred. At the end of the project, they are required to certify to us that the project is complete in accordance with the plans and specs. Does that answer your question?
For now, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Feinstein.
Thank you. I think a follow-up, and maybe it's not this one, but maybe the last one, like the building authority, I guess, and I don't, are you with that or is there somebody else? Is it the same type of thing then? So we know where the funds go, where they're supposed to go. I guess that's...
Building authority is different. We have the agency, let's say the Human Services Center project. Human Services Center submits a voucher, and that one's required to be signed by the head of the agency. And then it comes to us to make sure that they're staying within the budgeted items of the contract to ensure we have enough money to pay it. Then we submit it to the state auditor, who sends it to the state investment council the state auditor to cut a warrant. But our money is invested with the state investment council, so...
So in other words, if they're digging the hole to build the foundation and put in the footings, you'll get a voucher, you'll get something to say this is for the voucher. Next will be for the structure. Next will be for the furnishings.
And correct.
You have to verify that it's a legitimate
correct.
Expense that was under the auspices of the bond.
Correct. And we may get, for a certain project, we may get 50 vouchers. So that's why there's some cash balances in some of those projects that you questioned earlier.
Senator Maher, did you have a question?
I was go back to this book real quick. On page 13, it shows series 1969. Is that the year that these bonds were issued, and are they still outstanding?
Yes. Yes, the bonds were issued in 1969. No, they are not outstanding because they would show up in the outstanding bond listing. They've either been paid in full. I suspect they've been paid in full because they're quite dated.
I was just looking through this, and I'd never seen this before. And anyway, I was just trying to get a grasp of what we were actually looking at. Is this just a total listing of all the projects you've done since coming into it in existence? Is that what we're looking
at? Correct. And the authority was created in 1969.
Oh, okay. All right.
There's a hand in the back?
That's Dustin. That's his employee.
OSC, the Office of State Engineer, also approves it.
That's a very good point. Yeah, Office of State Engineer approves it. And in addition, our auditors spot check different construction payments for both authorities. And state banking examiners do that when they audit your trust department as well?
From time to time, yes.
So there are many checks and balances.
Okay, thank you. Gentlemen, thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you.
Next, we have South Dakota Conservancy District, Jim Feeney.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Jim Feeney. I'm an administrator with the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. We serve as staff to the Board of Water and Natural Resources, a seven-member board appointed by the governor, and that board also serves as a governing body of the South Dakota Conservancy District that has the bonding authority. This is the report. It is on two programs, the Clean Water State Revolving Loan Program and the Drinking Water State Revolving Loan Programs. These are two federal programs. We receive annual federal grants. The match for every $5 of federal funds we receive, we have to provide $1 of state match. We typically bond for that match. Additionally, when demand exceeds the money that's from the cap grant and match and repayments, we go out and leverage additional bonds to meet the needs for drinking water and clean water program projects. That includes wastewater, stormwater, and some watershed projects. Again, with the federal requirements, there's a couple overriding requirements with that. One is that we offer our money at below market rates, our base program rates right now to our borrowers, which are municipalities, special purpose districts, and on the drinking water side to nonprofit regional entities are 2.25% for 10 years or 3% for 20 years. In state fiscal year 11, we were out in the market with two bond issues. In the executive summary, there is some history there having to do with the Tax Increase Prevention and Reconciliation Act, TIPRA, in 2005, which for a pooled program such as ours mandated some very specific spend-down requirements. And for that, to address that, in 2008, we issued variable rate bonds for the first time, and in 2009, bond anticipation notes. Therefore, in 11, in August of last year of 2010, we had to redeem those 2009 bands, bond anticipation notes. They're only good for, I believe, 13 months, and then they have to be redeemed. We did that with another issue of $54.33 million in bond anticipation notes in fiscal year 11. And then later in the year, we issued additional bonds for an advance refunding of those bands. This is long-term funding and redeemed. So advance refunding of those bond anticipation notes, as well as the 2008 variable rate bonds and some other bonds outstanding from 1998. That issue was in two series. One was a tax exempt series, $54.33 million, and then a taxable series, which were Build America bonds, and that amount was $38.695 million. So that was our bond activity for the year. Also in the executive summary on page 7 is a list of our loans under the Clean Water Program. The board awarded 31 loans, just over $63.2 million. And on the following page, table 3, is a recap of the 28 drinking water loans, and those totaled $39.1 million. The rest of the report before you is in the same format as we've used for several years. The financial statements are in the next tab. These are prepared by the department's financial office. What is in here is unaudited, but we are audited annually by legislative audit, and in fact they're in our offices right now conducting the audit of these statements and the programs. The next two tabs provides additional information on the programs since their inceptions with the overall portfolios, a map of a location of all our recipients. I think under both programs, more than 100 entities have access funding from our program. We have under the bond issue summaries, again, those are recaps of all the bond issues and then some of the statutes governing these programs are provided in the last tab. That is a quick overview of our programs and the bonding done by the Conservancy District and the awards of the Board of Water and Natural Resources.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Feeney. Any questions? Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Recent heavy rains have washed out a lot of these small dams that we have in South Dakota that many of those will put in, you know, Works Projects Administration. Do you ever get into any replacement of any of those through this program?
Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Typically not under these programs. We have done some under our state grant and loan program, the consolidated program. Because of these programs and the eligible borrowers, typically this would not be a funding source for those.
Further questions? Seeing none. Thank you, sir. Next, South Dakota Value Added Finance Authority, Terry LaBrie. Good morning, Ms. LaBrie.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Terry LaBrie. I'm the Executive Director of the Value-Added Finance Authority. I'm also the Loan Administrator for the South Dakota Department of Agriculture. I'm here today with Paula Gregg, who is a Program Specialist for the Department of Agriculture. I'll work through the report here. I don't know if I'll go page by page, but just give you a brief summary. We issued six bonds for state fiscal year 2011 for approximately $25 million. We also issued or made one direct loan with one of our other programs. But page one, I'll just start there. It tells a little bit about the authority. We are created in 1995. We administer three tax-exempt bond programs as well as a direct loan, the Beginning Farmer Bond Program, the Agribusiness Bond Program, and the Livestock Nutrient Management Bond. The direct loan program is for value-added businesses. It was created in 2002. The Value-Added Finance Authority receives an allocation of $40 million of the state tax-exempt bond cap annually. $10 million of that is for the Beginning Farmer Bond, and $30 million of that is for the Agribusiness Bond and the Livestock Nutrient Management Bond. In fiscal year 2011, the Value-Added Finance Authority had the opportunity to issue three bonds as part of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. These bonds totaled over $24 million. If you turn to page two, you can see the dollar value of those ARRA bonds that they had in our total bond issue portfolio. Page three gets into the Beginning Farmer Bond Program, which was created in 96. To be eligible for a Beginning Farmer Bond, an applicant must be at least 18 years old, a resident of South Dakota, and net worth of less than $400,000. They also cannot own a substantial amount of farmland, and that's determined by 30% of the county median. As of June 30th, we've closed 315 bonds for over $37 million. 105 of these bonds have been paid in full, and only two have defaulted. The graph on page two shows the bond issues per year. In state fiscal year 2011, we issued two Beginning Farmer bonds for a total of $504,100. Working through on the bottom of page four and five, we get into the Agribusiness Bond Program. This was created in 97. Its purpose is to assist the development and expansion of agricultural businesses in South Dakota. State fiscal year, we issued one agribusiness bond for $557,975. Total of eight bonds were issued since the program began for a total of $19.6 million. The bottom of page five gets into our Livestock Nutrient Management Bond. This program was developed for any producers coming into compliance with environmental regulations regarding their manure management plans. Only costs associated with that manure management plan are eligible. We did not issue any bonds this year for that program, but since inception, we issued 21 bonds for almost $10 million. on page 6, we get into our value-added agribusiness relending program. This was created in 2002. It's a separate loan fund created with USDA IRP monies. The maximum amount of the loan is $150,000, so these are for your small agricultural businesses. In 2011, we closed one loan for $50,000, bringing the total of 23 loans made for almost $2 million. On the bottom of page 6, these are the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act bonds. As I mentioned earlier, Value Added Finance Authority issued 3 bonds for a total of $24,750,000. These were for economic development projects in the state of South Dakota. Details of those are on page 21. Page 7, we get into the portfolio. This is a detailed list of all of the bonds that we have issued, starting with the Beginning Farmer bond program, the most current, working through to the agribusiness and livestock nutrient management bonds. Page 19 is the direct loans. The ARA bonds are on page 21, as I mentioned. Page 22, we get into our board member section. These are the movers and shakers that are making these loans and issuing the bonds and making the decisions on these. One of the changes that were made as of 6:30 of this year, Bobby Dold has resigned and Chuck Jebson of Peer has been appointed one of our board members. This section is followed by our financial statements on page 26. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions? Seeing none.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our last be Kim Eastland with the South Dakota Economic Development Finance Authority, and I know you'll be very brief, Kim.
I can do that. Thank you. In front of you, you have the Economic Development Finance Authority's legislative audit report in the green binder. We had our legislative audit report with no technical deficiencies or no audit findings. When you open the front cover, you should have a listing of all the board members. It's a 7-member board appointed by the governor, and it oversees 2 of the 7 programs that we have at GUED, including the APEX program and then the EDFA bonds. The APEX program is USDA money that we get to loan out at a maximum of $250,000 per project, and then the EDFA bond starts at $1 million with a maximum of $10 million issuance, and we can do both tax-exempt and taxable issuances under the EDFA bonds. If you look at page 1, the opening page, unfortunately, you will see that we did see a decline in use on both the APEX and the EDFA bonds this year. We did not have any issuances out of either of those funds, but since July 1, we have proposed 2 bond issuances, one for $8 million in West River and one for $5 million in the central part of the state. And for the APEX program, since July 1, we have lowered that interest rate down from 5% to 3% and are currently waiving the 1.5% origination fee. And we have seen 2 new applications for that program totaling $500,000 plus another one going to the bond review committee next week for another $250,000. So we have seen the increase in activity in those programs. If you turn to page 6, you will see the debt administration section, the interest income on the loans. You did see a decline. We did have a payoff on a bond in 2011. And then our investment income is obviously due to recession or economic times, and the rates have gone down quite substantially. We have a contract with First National Bank in Sioux Falls has an investment income and contract that they do investments, and they have a multiple myriad of how they invest our funds. But right now, those CDs that we're earning 1.5% are at 0.3%. So that's the decline in that investment income. Under the expenses, you'll see a bad debt expense. We did have one loan that we went through liquidation, sold all the collateral, and we had a deficiency that we had to write off of $53,159 was the balance that we were not able to accomplish through the sale of those assets. If you turn to page 14, you'll see the outstanding bond issuances that we have currently. We have $21,650,000 in outstanding bonds. The maximum that we can do through this program is $40 million, and how that's achieved is it's 8 times the amount of our debt service reserve account, which is $5 million, that was appropriated through legislation when we began the program in 1987. It does not list the names of the bondholders, but I'll go through those at this time. We just don't put it in there for confidentiality purposes, but we have been asked a couple times for that information. On the top, the first bond issuance is with Mid-States Printing in Aberdeen. The second issuance is Angus Industries in Watertown. The third issuance is Davis Family South Dakota in Lake Norden. The next issuance is McFleeg of South Dakota in Watertown, Dakota Turkey Growers in Huron, Spearfish Forest Products, Inc. in Spearfish, and Angus Palm Industries, again, for another issuance in Watertown. And again, our total is $21 million, and we have authority to go up to $40 million. On page, the final page that doesn't list, it lists anything that occurred after the audit is on page 16. We did have Mid-States Printing has paid their bond in full, and then Dakota Fabrications has paid their Apex loan in full. So those were concurrent to the audit. So those are listed on the last page. Regarding contractual services, again, we have First National Bank as our trustee. Legislative audit reviews our files, and then we have a bond underwriter out of Doherty & Company in Minneapolis, and a bond attorney out of Dorsey & Whitney in Minneapolis are the contract services that we work with. I can answer any questions
at
this time.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Seeing none.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that concludes the bonding reports to the Bond Review Committee. I would entertain a motion that the Bonding Committee receive and accept the South Dakota Bonding Authority reports given into record. Second by Senator Hunstad. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. We are now back into regular session with the Executive Board. And I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Representative Lucas.
Before we adjourn, I would just like to personally thank you for your dedication and hard work you've given to this committee this year.
Thank you.
I appreciate the input you've allowed me to give you as the ranking minority member of this committee, although I must say I was a little apprehensive last spring when we started, as I had read a report from one of the West River newspapers that you hadn't received too high of a grade from the past legislative session. So I have prepared a report card for you based on your political skills that you've shown to this committee, and it was graded by a group of scholars on this committee, and they've given you pretty high marks for the most part, so there's no red marks on here. So I really do, I think I can speak for everyone here, we really do appreciate all that you've done for us this year.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Please share that with the Rapid Journal. Representative Abdullah.
Well, I too want to add my thank you, but you had one big deficiency. You don't give breaks. We've had three breaks since this board was formed.
Representative Abdullah, if I recall, you've had two breaks today.
I took them. I didn't get them from you.
Would you care to make the motion to adjourn, Representative?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn, second. All in favor say aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Thank you.